Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I appreciate you so much and I am extremely grateful that you tune in every single week. And I always am thinking about ways that I can serve. I'm always listening to what's going on in the market, paying very close attention when I'm speaking with clients and candidates in my recruitment company, and just generally keeping a very close watch and pulse on what's happening in the marketplace. So today's episode, I wanted to do a real focus on really how to stand out in a competitive job market. I feel like I've not done a recruitment interview, resume, kind of very practical solo cast in a while. So I really want to make this as tangible and practical as I possibly can. So if you're on the job market right now, if you're somebody that is actively applying for jobs, if you're somebody that is maybe thinking about a career change this year, moving companies, or even if you're just thinking, how can I get ahead? How can I stand out in my organization? How can I get that promotion? Then there's definitely going to be something in this podcast for you today. So, you know, I want to talk about some future opportunities, standing out, the do's and the don'ts that I often see when it comes to job hunting, applying for jobs, dealing with recruiters. I've been doing this, well, recruitment now for over 12 years. So as you can imagine, I've seen pretty much every single mistake someone can make. So I really want to make sure I share them with you so you don't make these common mistakes. Ultimately, I really want to help you master the job application process and become irresistible in your area of expertise. So just to sort of, I guess, paint the picture here as well, I recruit in technology. So some of this is going to be quite technology focused, but it does apply to all industries and all jobs. So that's really, really key. So you might be sitting there right now and you might be on the job market. And if you are, I just want to hold space for that as well. There's a lot of phenomenal people that I know that are actually looking for jobs right now. And I just want to say this, it is not a reflection of your skills and your experience. There's actually been a lot of layoffs in tech over the last 18 months, especially. And some very, very talented people have found themselves on the job market. Maybe they've been made redundant. There's been a restructure in the organization. And it's not a case of, you know, or the bottom of the barrel being let go, the people that don't really show up and do much. It's actually a lot of incredible talent that is on the market right now. And I know because I'm speaking to them every single day. And these people are at the top of their game. They've got an abundance of skills and they are, I guess, finding themselves in a new position. And what I'm finding is a lot of these people haven't actually interviewed or haven't had to do a resume in many, many years because beautifully they've done such a phenomenal job in their organization that they haven't found themselves on the market up until now. But what I'm seeing is a few little mistakes that I feel with a couple of little tweaks can really help set you up for success. So that's the key thing I just want to lead with today. It is not a reflection of you, of your skills. It is still a tough market out there. And I'm hearing this not just in tech, but in the job market in general. Layoffs are still happening. We're still in a little bit of a tricky spot. I'm hoping 2025, this is going to change. And just for reference as well, I am noticing a lot more clients that we work with at CH Solutions really sort of be positive about the year ahead, definitely looking to grow their teams this year. So it's all quite positive messaging that I'm hearing. In Australia, the mortgage rates have dipped, which is always a good sign of, like, you know, the economy is going to start buzzing again. So I think it's some really positive signs 2025, but you know, there's still going to be some challenges ahead. And I want to make sure that every single person listening to this podcast is really set up for success. So the first thing that I think is super important, whether you're looking for a job this year or not, is to be really thinking about your personal brand. Now, I've spoken about this a lot, okay? But I do think that as we grow and we move into this new era of technology, there's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be, you know, lots of different things happening. You're not only going to compete with other job seekers, you're going to be competing with a lot of new technology. AI is evolving, obviously. So it's really, really important, I believe, to be thinking about what you want to be known for. So people complicate personal brand, but ultimately I think about it this way. What are you known for? What do people say when you're not in the room? You know, if someone was to say, what's Georgie's personal brand? I can probably predict that they would say she's really passionate about women in technology and she's a tech recruiter. That's what sort of like Georgie's personal brand is. That's what she's known for. Oh, she has this podcast. She's really big on building self-worth and confidence. You know, but there'd be a few sort of different things, I guess, in terms of what circles you ask. But I guess the common thread throughout is women in tech. I do think that's what my personal brand is. I'm a big advocate for getting more women and young girls into technology. So what is your personal brand? What are you known for, right? I think that's a really, really key thing to ask yourself. Who are you? What do you bring to the table? What makes you different? What is your USP? I've really been challenged the last, I guess, 18 months in business, especially in that I've really had to drill down in terms of like, what is our point of difference? And this can be applied into your career as well. How do you stand out when you're going to a job interview, when you're going up against other colleagues for a promotion? Why should the business or why should somebody hire you or promote you over somebody else? What's your compelling story? What can you offer? And the more clear you can become about this, the more appealing you're going to be to potential employers. So I think it's really important to think about your own brand, what you want to be known for, and then start putting yourself out there, right? Because, you know, I think this is also really, really key and probably sometimes the missing piece when it comes to people's personal brand is that you might be known within the four walls of your organization, but outside of that, what message do you want the market to, what message do you want to tell the market, basically? What are you posting about? What are you, what networking events are you appearing at, right? Because you've got your internal brand and your external brand as well. And that's what the marketplace sees. So if you're somebody that wants to get a new job or, you know, you want to be headhunted, for example, right? This is something that I would be taking really, really seriously. So one of the things that I always do as a recruiter, in fact, one of the first things I do as a recruiter, once I receive someone's resume, is I will automatically go onto their LinkedIn profile, okay? Now, there's been a whole episode dedicated to this, so I'm not going to go into huge, huge detail, but the key thing, this is literally like, sounds so basic, but you won't believe how many people don't do this, is remember, it's not Instagram, it's not Tinder, it's not Facebook. This is a professional platform. Your picture really, really matters. I'm sorry, it does. It tells a story in itself. So, you know, the other day we had a candidate and we had a position with a quite a well-known law firm, and it was, they were looking for, someone senior in tech. And we found this great candidate and went onto the LinkedIn profile, and they had a picture of themselves with a beer. And we had to have a conversation with them because I thought probably no one's actually ever brought this up with them. But I think it's really, really important that we do this. So went about it, obviously, in a really professional way. But these little things really matter because if we're going to your LinkedIn profile, right, the employer is going to go to your LinkedIn profile. So how you show up online tells a story in yourself, and you don't want to be known for the person. Like, what's the first thing you're going to think if you log onto someone's LinkedIn profile and you see someone sat with a beer, right? You're going to sort of think a story of like, and it's probably not even true, but this is what people are going to think. Oh, that person's just, you know, loves a drink, going to finish early on a Friday and hit the pub, right? Not the sort of person maybe that I want to bring into this organization that's going to take this career seriously, that's going to add something to our business. And we could all sit here and moan about that, but that is the reality. We all have a social profile. We all have a personal brand now, whether we like it or not. So what are you portraying to the marketplace? I think it's really important to think about your professional brand, and pictures do speak 1,000 words. So the first thing I want you to do is look at your LinkedIn profile and make sure that it is professional, approachable, you know, you're looking smart in it. And it's just these little subtleties. Make sure you're looking at the camera, you're not looking away. All of these things, I'm sorry to say, whether you want to hear this or not, but they do really matter. Okay. So picture's one thing, title's another. You want to make sure that that's optimized for searchability. So one of the things that recruiters will do when they headhunt is we will type in role titles. We will then type in key skills. Okay, so let's just say I'm searching for a principal engineer because that's a role I've been searching for a couple of weeks now. I will put in the title of LinkedIn recruiter, which is sort of the back end of LinkedIn, right? So that sort of like will bring up all the candidates that are actively looking, right? And the algorithm will be able to tell that, which is pretty incredible. So it will bring up all the active candidates and I'll put in the title box, principal engineer. Okay, so then in the next box down, I'll write in the key sort of technology skill. So for example, that could be .NET and React, okay? So if you're, say, a principal engineer in this scenario, and you're looking for another principal engineer job, or you're looking to step into a principal engineer role, you want to make sure that in your LinkedIn profile, you have got these key skills. And I like to, as a little hack, encourage people to put it in their sort of the titles underneath the picture. So they're just putting, you know, principal engineer, you could put principal engineer and then list the key technologies that you work with, you know, or if you're a UX designer, you know, you could put Adobe or all the sort of the skills that you use, or, you know, if you're a project manager, a BA, you can make sure you're listing the skills there, like stakeholder management, whatever it is, but make sure in that title, it is very, very clear on some of the sort of the key things that you work with, okay? Because that's just going to make sure that in the algorithm, you are brought up first and foremost, okay? So that these little things, if you're on the job market right now, or if you want recruiters to start headhunting you, or if you just want to become a bit more visible, right? This is really, really important. So another headline could be, if you're a data analyst, you could even put helping companies leverage data for business growth, right? You could do something like that. You could just make a little statement in it, right? But play around. The key piece here is making sure you really do utilize that headline underneath your picture. And then finally on LinkedIn, once you've really sort of spruced it up, you've got all your skills there, you're almost thinking about your LinkedIn profile like your online resume. Okay, that's really important. You can make sure that you've got all of your contact details there, your email, your mobile number, you know, make it easy for recruiters to contact you, right? Like we use a tool at CH Solutions, and we, a fantastic AI tool that actually searches the internet and can pull emails, right? But I would love it if someone was actually on the market and was open to receiving offers and new opportunities, if they just put their email there. You don't need to put your mobile number, but just your email, just so at the very least, as recruiters, we could shoot you a quick email to say, you know, hey, Barbara, I noticed you on LinkedIn. I'm currently recruiting for a data analyst role. Love to have a conversation about this opportunity. Fill out your skills. From what I can see, would be a perfect match, right? So make it easy for HR professionals, talent professionals, recruiters to contact you through LinkedIn. And the easiest way you can do that is just fill in the contact field on LinkedIn and have your personal email there. Don't obviously have your work email there, because you don't want to be getting job offers sent to your inbox at work. That would be a bit hashtag awkward. Then the other thing that I would say is equally as important, as I've sort of said before, is, you know, content is king, right? So this doesn't have to be complicated again, but just sharing insights, comment on industry trends, engage with other professionals in your field, share their content, right? But what it does, it builds credibility and it keeps recruiters on your radar, right? So if like someone's just sort of shared something on LinkedIn that's in tech, for example, that would come up in my algorithm. So I would see a candidate shared something, maybe they've been at a networking event or a seminar, or maybe they've just, you know, seen something on LinkedIn news that they thought was interesting that they wanted to share, or, you know, they were, and they've written a blog or they shared someone else's blog. They could literally just share that on LinkedIn. And me as the recruiter would see that. And then I could reach out to them and contact them from there. So you want to be visible. You want to be seen online. This is absolutely crucial. So that sort of covers point number one, personal branding. What do you want to be known for? How can you show up? Make sure that your LinkedIn profile looks professional and is all up to date with your current skill set, so it's searchable through the algorithm. And just share a few pieces of content each week and make sure that you are seen within the LinkedIn network. So that's absolutely key. The next piece, obviously, is getting your CV and your resume up together. Now, this is a really, really important one. Now, some people say you don't need to tailor every resume. I would challenge this slightly, right? I think when it comes to job searching, it is quality over quantity, okay? So you could be in obviously a position where you just are, you really need to get a job, right? And then it is a case of, okay, I appreciate that you might be sending out your resume to lots of different recruiters, reaching out. But the problem with doing that is it almost, I guess, it loses its touch a little bit, right? Like I do have some candidates that reach out to me all the time. They always seem to find themselves on the market and they always are reaching out to me, and they're actually like not even doing, they're in sort of like marketing roles, and I don't really do marketing roles, but they're every single time they find themselves on the market, they just sort of reach out to me and send me their CV. And I'm thinking, you've not really taken the time to actually look into what our recruitment company does, what I do, what I recruit for. You've just pinged me your resume. And that actually is a waste of your time, okay? So I think that it's really, really important to think about, what opportunity do I want? What organization do I want to work for? The clearer you can get, the more you're going to start moving in that direction, as opposed to just pulling the net out and hoping that you catch something, okay? So I like to think of the analogy of you going into the job market with a rod as opposed to a net. What do you want? Where is your next role going to be? You know, and the clearer you can get, the easier it's going to be for recruiters, an example, to make sure that they're matching you with the right opportunity. Okay, so it's even like when you go like hunting for a house, right? You know what how much money you want to spend roughly. You'd know how many bedrooms you'd want. You'd know sort of the land size you'd want. You know if you want an apartment or a house or a unit, right? You wouldn't sort of go house hunting thinking, oh, I'll go and look at this house over there that's worth 2 million. I'll go and look at this flat that's worth 500,000, right? You know roughly what you want. And it's the same as the job market. You have to have an idea of what you're going for. And then you can let the recruiter know and you can tell them, this is what I'm looking for. This is what kind of organizations, company sizes that I would love to work for. And this is the skills that I can bring into this organization. Okay. So another key tip that I like to really offer candidates is, once you understand what job you want, what you're going after, go on to Seek, go on to Indeed, go on to Monster, go on to LinkedIn Jobs, and have a look at all of the position descriptions that you are targeting. What is the pattern? What are the key skills that these organizations are looking for? Okay. And once you sort of make a list of maybe the top 5 or 10 skills that are in sort of, they're sort of like frequently appearing throughout, you can then ensure that these skills are on your LinkedIn profile and your resume. Okay. So this is just such an easy hack, because every single company now uses an ATS, which is an applicant tracking system. And what this will do is it will actually just scan resumes. Okay. So this is probably a little bit of the danger of AI, which is something that I do think about often. But, you know, a lot of the ATSs now, they do apply AI, machine learning, to basically scan through resumes on the system and bring up the top sort of 5 to 10 candidates. Okay. And then the recruiter or the HR manager will call those top 10 people to start with. So the more skills you can have in your resume and your LinkedIn profile that is matching the jobs that you want, the higher ranking your resume is going to come up within these ATS systems. Okay. Most of the systems now will actually even rate candidates 4 or 5 star. And you want to make sure that your CV is getting to the top of the pile of candidates. which is why I sort of said at the beginning, just flicking your CV to 100 different jobs isn't really going to get you very far, because you might not even be showing up in the top 10 resumes, okay? And recruiters and HR managers, you know, when we don't have an abundance of hours in the day, we're going to call and contact the top 5 or 10 people that come up first, okay? So the easier you make it for us, the more likely it is that you're going to get in process and end up having an interview and hopefully securing the job. Okay. So these are just subtle little things to really think about. And look, it is taking a little bit more time. Okay. It is sort of really thinking strategically. It is going above and beyond. It does take a bit more effort to customize a resume for the job that you're applying for, as opposed to just sending a generic one to every single recruiter and applying for every job on LinkedIn. But if you're serious about getting the job that you want, and you're serious about standing out in a competitive marketplace right now, these are the little lengths and the hacks that you can apply to get you ahead of your competition. Okay, so this is really, 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 really key. Another thing that I would just say finally on the CV point is you really want to pull out your achievements, okay? So results over responsibilities, all right? So, you know, in some resumes, people will just list the things that they did like it's a sort of a shopping list, right? It's not. What did you personally do? What impact in the business did you have? So for example, maybe sort of like a weak thing in a CV or not as strong would be manage company social media accounts, right? Like that could be something if you're in marketing, right? Well, that's great. That tells them what you did, but what did you achieve? So a stronger, I guess, sort of a highlight could be increased engagement by 35% through targeted social media strategies, okay? Now that you've put something tangible and the employer will go, oh, that's interesting. That person's definitely done something that we're looking to achieve here. Let's bring them in for an interview and find out more about how they did that. You know, or if you're a UX designer, you could maybe say, you know, instead of just being like, I was a UX designer for this company for 5 years, that's great. But maybe you could add in something like you designed a mobile first interface and increased the app user engagement by 35%, you know, or you led a user research and usability testing session to refine a product UX. Like, be specific. What did you do in that role? What did you achieve? Use numbers. People love a percentage. People love to see the impact that you have made. Make sure that's in your CV. Don't just make a list of bullet points of what you did. You want to make sure that you've actually got the tangible impact that you had in that organization. That's also what's going to help you stand out above the rest. So that's super, super key. So yeah, that sort of, I guess, covers resume. Or the final thing I would say, because I had this situation the other day and I had to basically go and tell someone to redo their whole CV, is it needs to be clean. Please check for spelling. Please, please, please. There's an app called Grammarly. Download it. I think it's free. But please just make sure there's no grammar issues in there. There's no spelling mistakes. It's just so important to do this. And then you also even avoid like fancy graphics, right? Because that actually sometimes doesn't show up very well in the ATS system. So keep it clean, keep it concise. It doesn't need to be fancy. It doesn't need to be covered in pictures, but it is really, really important to think about these things. Formatting as well. I had a CV I read the other day. Some of it was bolded, some of it was 12, some of it was 14. It was all different shapes and sizes. It hadn't been formatted properly. And again, it just looks sloppy. It's first impressions. They really do matter. So make sure, again, it's all formatted. I would even do it in Word and then convert it into a PDF. So when you're sending it to jobs, it doesn't then all sort of like move around, because not everybody's got Word these days. So thinking about maybe converting it into a PDF, and there's tons of websites out there. You can literally just go into Google Word to PDF converter and literally it will do it for you for free within seconds. Okay. But yeah, all of these things are just subtleties, but again, will definitely help you stand out, and you'll make sure your CV rises to the top. It's well presented, and then your LinkedIn profile matches that as well. So yeah, I've kind of covered quite a lot of things in that one. But the other thing that I would just sort of say that I think really helps people stand out is networking, right? If you're on the job market right now, do not neglect your network. So many people get jobs utilizing their network, okay? Reach out to old colleagues. Where are they now? Old managers, old leaders. You know, referrals are just so powerful. So, so powerful. Like, you know, if we get a referral in our business, I instantly just want to talk to that person because guess what? Good people know good people. So if you've got a friend that's working in a business that you've identified is definitely a company you'd be interested in working for, reach out, you know, offer to go and say, you know, I'd love to take you out for coffee, hear more about what's going on. And then they're going to go back to their manager or their HR team and just say, hey, look, I've just caught up with Sarah and she's actually going to be starting to look for a new opportunity. She does this, this and this. She's amazing. She's one of the best people I've ever worked with. If there's an opportunity that opens up, I would definitely recommend her, right? To have that reference, that referral is so powerful. So don't neglect your network when it comes to job searching. Making sure that you are connecting to the hiring managers and other industry professionals as well before even applying. Again, coming back to attending industry events and webinars and conferences, right? Like this all comes back to being visible. This all comes back to being seen, okay? And then if you are, you know, sending your resume or you've had a really good conversation with someone in the business, don't be afraid to follow up and just say, hey, how did the conversation go? And just make sure that, you know, you're showcasing your enthusiasm and highlighting obviously why you are the right fit as well. But, you know, the application process is you know, a really big part obviously of being on the market, but please do not neglect your network. Once obviously you've got all of your CV and your LinkedIn profile up to date, it's just, honestly, I think it's just such an untapped, you know, resource to tap into. So really, really utilize that. The next thing, so let's say you have, you've done everything I've just said, you've really worked on your personal brand, you've got your narrative going, you're starting to, you've optimized your LinkedIn profile, you've got an absolutely fantastic resume, you're making sure that it's slightly customized for every job and you've got all the key skills in there that you need for the roles you're applying for. You've really sort of focused on the impact that you've made in each company. It's all in there. It's all clean and easy and beautiful to read. You've networked, you've reached out to a few people in organizations, old colleagues, leaders, etc. Hopefully, if you've done all that and you've done it well, you get an interview. Now, this is, oh God, this almost could be another whole conversation in itself. And look, there's no denying that interviews can be so nerve-wracking, right? And I've had a number of interviews in my time. The only time that I have been really, really nervous for an interview is when I have been totally underprepared. And we've all done it. We've all gone to an interview, not properly researched the company, not read over the job brief, not thought of some couple of questions we'd like to ask, not done our research on who's even interviewing us, not maybe sort of just read some articles or news about the company itself and understood what they're going through and how we can help them. We've gone in and we're sort of winging it. That's when I felt nervous. So please do not do that. Research, research, research. Know the company, know its challenges and how you can add the value. The other thing I want to add here as well, which is so important, and I say this to all of my candidates, right? People are busy. People don't just sit around wanting to interview and meet people for the sake of their health. They have got better things to do. They want you to be good. They have read your resume. They have gone on your LinkedIn profile and they've gone, wow, Georgie looks like the perfect fit for this position. Now it's over to you to basically confirm that. Okay. That's what an interview is. It's confirmation that you are the right person for this job, because in a way they kind of already thinking this person looks good. So you want to go in and basically confirm to them that you are the right person for this job. So I think it's really important to remember that going into the interview. It's like they're not just interviewing you for the sake of it. They've seen something in you, or if they've been referred to you, now it's your time to shine, okay? So I've spoken about the STAR method before: situation, task, action, result. Really, really make sure that you deliver clear, compelling responses to the questions. Really slow down. Don't speed through, thinking about what you've done, how you can help, the impact you've already had, maybe thinking about some of the challenges that are going on with their business right now and what you've had to do in your previous role to overcome those challenges, and then the value you can offer this business. Okay. So this is really super, super key. And it's just so important to be over-prepared for an interview. But remember going in that you are there because they have seen something in you, in your resume, in your background that they want and need. Okay, so it's over to you to basically sell yourself and showcase in this interview that you are the person for this role. Absolutely crucial. The other thing I always say to candidates is just sort of thinking about a couple of questions that you could ask at the end. I always think like it just sort of shows intelligence. It shows that you've done your research. It shows that you're really taking this seriously and you want the opportunity. So, you know, a question that I always think is a really good one is, what challenges is the team currently facing that I can help solve? Or, you know, what makes someone successful in this role? What would the expectations be? What would success look like in this role? If obviously you are a technologist, you could really sort of dive deep into the current technology situation, the challenges there, and what the vision is for the team, for the project, what the goals are. You know, it really is your opportunity to ask some really smart questions, not ask what's the annual leave policy, you know, what are the working hours, what's, you know, like that can come, okay? That can come down the track. The first interview, you want to leave that interview having left the best first impressions, okay? So it always sort of ends with, do you have any questions for us? And if your only question is, are you a hybrid way of work? How many days from home do I get? It doesn't go down very well, okay? So think about some smart questions that you can ask at the end of the interview. And the other thing I would say, and again, this is common sense, but sometimes it's not so common, be well presented, whether you're showing up via Zoom, whether you're going in person. If you're going in person or Zoom, be early. Never, ever, 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 ever be late, okay? It is the worst thing you can possibly do, and it just shows a complete lack of respect, and automatically you're then going to be on the back foot because instantly, whether they want to admit it or not, the employer's thinking, Christ, if they can't even get on time for an interview, they're actually going to get on time for work, okay? We can't be having someone in our business that doesn't even show up on time. And then if you show up and you're all, you know, haven't made an effort, haven't brushed your hair, haven't, you know, put a nice shirt on or something smart to wear, again, it just shows that lack of care and presentation skills. So this is, again, sounds so simple, but it is so, so, so important. And I think it's really easy when you've been on the job market for maybe a while to get complacent with these sorts of things, okay? But ask yourself a question like, you know, what could I have done better in the last few interviews? How did I show up? And then the final thing on this as well is that I think it's super, super important, and probably this doesn't get spoken about enough. Think about what state you're showing up in, okay? Because if you're showing up for interviews or even applying for jobs or doing anything that's important in a lousy state of mind, feeling defeated, feeling not good enough, you know, not taking the time to put the effort in, not in a good sort of headspace, not in a good sort of like energy, that is going to come across, okay? So do something prior to the interview that you know is going to get you in a good state. So something that you can do, and I do sometimes, I do generally do this before, if I'm about to step on stage or running a panel or whatever I'm doing, I will literally get myself in a peak state. And how I do this is I move my body, I take some long, deep, intentional breaths, and I will stand literally with my hands on my hips, pretending I've got a cape on my back and saying to myself, I've got this. I have got this. I am enough. I am capable. I am strong. And I will literally repeat powerful affirmations in my mind over and over again while stood in a really empowering posture. And let me tell you, I instantly feel I've got this. Game on, let's go. Okay. So the state that you show up in is so important. Do you want to be focused? Do you want to be in the zone? You want to be energetic, but in a really calm, present way. You are going to be ready then for whatever comes at you, and you're going to be able to respond in a far more empowering and emotional intelligent way if you have got yourself in the right frame of mind, in the right state, ready for the interview ahead, okay? And this goes not just into interviews. This goes if you're on the job market every day and you're waking up out of bed. If you're waking out of bed every day and you're just hanging around in your pajamas applying for jobs, I'm sorry, that's not going to be in the right state. You want to get up. You want to literally treat it like going to work. Get up, get dressed, go for a walk around the block, hit the gym, move your body, do a visualization at the start of the day and get in and get it done. Okay. The worst thing you can do is mope about, stay in your pajamas all day. You're not going to be in the right state of mind to apply for jobs in that. Okay. Dust yourself down. Let's go. Right headspace on. Move the body. Get the energy up. Get the dopamine firing. In the zone. Focused. Do it. Okay. If you just sort of hanging around in your sweats all day, I don't know about you, but when I've done that, I've just not felt in the right state. I've not felt in the right zone, and nothing good comes from that. So little pep talk there, but really, really important, and probably one that doesn't get spoken about enough. Because again, if we're in a lousy state, we don't take action, we don't feel ready, we're not going to have the discipline to show up. So this is all really important things to consider. So final thing in terms of like the do's and the don'ts, the common mistakes that I just want to sort of go over as well, just so you're really, really set up for success. So number one, don't use generic resumes and cover letters. You do need to tailor them or you won't get noticed. Okay, this is super important. And look, especially in the world where every single cover letter these days seems to be written by ChatGPT, I literally feel like I'm getting the same cover letter over and over and over again. I'm not even reading them now. Okay, so you need to make sure that if you're going to do a cover letter, it is actually customed to the job. Okay. Don't just write a generic cover letter. Again, think about, okay, if I'm going to put this cover letter together, how can I really make sure that this stands out as well? Otherwise, I wouldn't even bother, to be honest. Your resume, gone through this, make sure it's tailored to the job that you want. Go on the job sites, have a look at the key skills, make sure they're in your resume and on your LinkedIn. The other thing that I think is really important to still think about is not overloading your CV with tons of buzzwords. What am I seeing a lot at the moment? Robust, hardworking, detail orientated. Like everyone says this, right? And it's all right to put it in there, as long as you then can back it up and prove it with real life examples, you know? So if you've got experience building out, new APIs and building out pipelines and doing this and this and this, don't say, oh, I'm a hardworking software engineer with a robust technology stack, you know, completely irrelevant. You want to actually write something that is going to make you stand out, something that you have done. Okay. So it's all right to put like a bold statement like that, but back it up with what you actually did, back it up with the impact that you had and the results that you really got for your previous employer. Okay. So really making sure that your CV is not just full of buzzwords. It's got to be full of tangible impacts and actions that you personally did. Like I said to you before, ignoring your online presence, big, big, big mistake. You've got to make sure that you've got a professional LinkedIn profile. It is so important. You want to make sure that, you know, your LinkedIn profile does reflect your professionalism, your expertise. So again, you don't need to be posting 20 times a day, but just have a bit of a presence on there. So when people click on your profile, they can go to your recent post, see that you've shared a few things, see that you're passionate about the industry that you're in, see that you're a bit of a subject matter expert. And that's going to make it far more compelling for that employer, that recruiter, that you're actually in the market, you're sharing valuable insights, and you're definitely going to be somebody that recruiter wants to speak to. And the final thing I think that is just really important, if you find yourself on the job market, if you are wanting to start getting a few more recruiters reach out to you and be headhunted, is, you know, don't be passive as well. Like, don't wait for opportunities to come to you. You know, you do need to get in the driver's seat of your own career and your own life. So, you know, being proactive in your job search, really sort of researching some companies, really like looking into companies that are going through mergers, acquisitions, companies that have just got investment, right? Like, you could go onto a website called Crunchbase, and that will sort of give you a list of companies, like startups that have just had a funding round, okay? How fantastic. I'm giving you all my secrets now, but you could literally go onto this website and you could see a startup has just had $10 million worth of funding. Well, I'm telling you now, if they've just got $10 million or around that figure, they're going to be hiring some people. So again, you could reach out to the founders and you could say, hey, my name's, you know, Georgie, and I specialize in talent acquisition. I know that you've just gone through a big funding round. Congratulations. I have helped scale multiple businesses over the years. I've got a phenomenal network of tech talent. Being a technology business, I presume that you're going to be needing technology hires. I would love to partner with you. I'd love to be considered for a role within your business to help you scale up your technology team. Let me know when you're free for a chat, right? Be proactive. You have to be proactive. You can't wait for people to come knocking on your door. Sometimes when you find yourself on the market, that you do need to take action, right? And I guess the final thing that I will just say to you is that if you are on the market, you've been on the market for a while, you've been going to a number of interviews, right? I think it's really important to be also taking a look at yourself, ask for feedback, right? You want the feedback. I think don't just take no for an answer. If you keep hearing no, you need to understand why that is, okay? And just say to the recruiter or the HR manager or whoever, just say, look, please just give it to me straight, because we can't fix what we don't know needs to be fixed, okay? So get that feedback, take it on board, whatever it is. It might not be the nicest thing that you've heard in your lifetime, but that's really, really powerful. Knowledge is power, okay? So you want to make sure you ask for that feedback after every single interview, whether it's a yes, whether it's a no, because that's how you're going to improve. And it could be something that you do, you don't even realize that you do it, right? You could be just fidgeting, or you could be playing with your hair, or you could be coming across as too passive and not as enthusiastic as what they want, or you might not be articulating yourself in the right way, whatever it is. But you need to understand why, if you're going through multiple interviews and you're just constantly hearing no, why is that? So really important to get that feedback. Don't just take no for an answer. Dive deep into why that could be. That's really, really important. And the other thing I would just finally leave you with is, use this opportunity, if you are on the market right now, to upskill, to learn something new. Again, this all comes back to like the state that you're in. Don't just use it for an opportunity to watch daytime TV, stay in your pajamas all day. And I know so many of you that listen to this podcast don't do this, right? I know that. I know that you all take your careers very seriously. You want to improve yourself. And now is the perfect time. Now is an opportunity to think about that course that you've wanted to do. Upskill yourself, maybe go to a couple more networking events, put yourself out there a bit more, tidy up your online presence a bit, right? But use this time wisely. You will get another job soon. You will. And you don't want to look back on this opportunity. And again, let's reframe it into an opportunity. When you find yourself on the job market, that you wasted it, feeling sorry for yourself. So take the opportunity to think, okay, has there been something I've been putting off in my life that I could really dedicate a bit of time to now while I've got this space, while I'm looking for a new job in between? Could I, and sometimes it doesn't even need to be career related. Sometimes it could be something more personal that you've wanted to do for a while. But use this time wisely, okay? Because you will get work again. Of course you will. But you can also think about something that would really, really move your life, your career, whatever it is, forward. So do something for you that your future self will thank you for. So what could that be today? Think about that for a moment. Could be, again, breaking a bad habit and starting new habits. You know, it could be sort of finally pressing that reset button and starting that fitness regime and joining the gym now that you've got a bit more time and getting into a bit of a better energy, a bit of a bit of a better shape, a bit more, you know, a bit more vitality into your body. Okay. So whatever it is for you, you could be using this time really, really wisely. So that is today's episode. I really, really, really hope that it has served you and you've got something from this today. I've really, really tried to make it as practical as I possibly can, really think about all those mistakes that get made. But like I said at the beginning, if you find yourself on the market right now, it is not a reflection of you. It is not a reflection of your skills. It is just been a really challenging time for a lot of people right now. And I just want to hold space for that. And as long as you sort of follow these sort of key, I guess, suggestions, strategies, tools, tips, whatever you want to call them, I know that you will land yourself another job again. And hopefully it will be the job that you really, really want. And you'll go on to achieve incredible things in your career. So please reach out to me. If you're using any of these tools that I've suggested today, let me know. Let me know what your biggest takeaway was today. Let me know the one thing you're going to implement. What was your biggest aha moment today? What are you going to start taking away into your job search? Or what are you going to start applying today that's going to really help enhance your career? But that is today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to support this podcast, please, you could do one of these things. You could share it, you could comment, you could subscribe, or you could leave a review. They all help to boost this podcast and to, again, help as many people as possible. That is my goal. That is my aim with this podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in today, and I'll speak to you again very soon. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.